A number of creatures that once roamed far and wide across our land and our waterways are either gone or on the endangered species list, in danger of being gone. So it is with the bull trout. The fish once populated many streams around the region. Now that range is greatly diminished. The bull trout is listed as a threatened species. That's one step safer than endangered. But the process of working to bring the trout back is not going fast enough for some environmental groups. They just sent a notice of intent to sue on behalf of the bull trout. One of those groups is Cascadia Wildlands, based in Eugene, where Nick Cady is the legal director and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Nick, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you.
So just the look of the bull trout is interesting. It looks like a salmon. What does this fish do, and what's its recent history?
Well, it is a salmonid species, and it formerly ranged throughout the Columbia River and Snake River basins and headed east all the way into Montana and Idaho into Canada and all the way down to the Klamath River Basin in south central Oregon and northern California. But it's a very particular salmonid species because it requires cold water and clean substrate gravel to breed successfully. And a lot of human activity like timber, grazing, and mining have really negatively impacted this species over the years.
So what are the numbers like? I mean, how big a dive has it taken in the last two, three, four decades, however long the measurement period would seem to be?
Well, that's being debated, and part of the reason why we are filing this lawsuit is for the Fish and Wildlife Service to compile basically the best available science on the species and determine how well the species is doing. There's no debate over whether the species is declining. That's accepted. It's still on the Endangered Species Act. Basically, the species is being managed under a plan from the early 1990s, and we believe it's time to revisit that plan, especially in light of recent climate change and warming waters, which is really negatively impacting this species.
I saw a map with historic and current ranges and noticed some fairly large differences between those.
Yes, yeah, very significant. Primarily what we're seeing is a lot of management activities contribute sediment into waterways, which not only decreases the depth of this water, which increases temperature, but it also impairs gravel. So when the sediment gets in between the gravel, it's unsuitable for breeding for the fish.
This is a fairly picky fish from the sounds of it. I mean, it sounds like there are a number of attributes that make the bull trout a particularly sensitive species.
Yes, yes, that's very true. It is kind of the most fragile of the salmonoid, particular with its habitat, I should say.
So in a circumstance where you've got degraded stream conditions, is the bull trout often the first fish to vanish when some others will still stick it out?
Sure, sure. I think the bull trout will hang on. It's just its breeding abilities are impaired. And so that's kind of very significant for long-term survival of the species. Essentially, you know, the goal of the Endangered Species Act and the goal of putting these species on this list is not only to, like, prevent the decline of the species, but is to eventually recover them. And so what we had, this plan that's currently in place, it's called the Packfish in Fish Plan, and don't ask me to tell you what that means. But
there's a bunch of acronyms, I know. Yeah, you get into wildlife management.
But that was designed to be kind of a stopgap, an 18-month stopgap plan, and that's been in place since 1998. And so recently in 2010, somewhat recently, the Fish and Wildlife Service designated increased critical habitat for the species. And so basically what we're asking is for 24 different national forest and Bureau of Land Management districts to take a look and consult with Fish and Wildlife Service over whether activities permitted in their management plans would adversely modify this bull trout habitat. No one has taken that look yet.
Isn't consultation supposed to be part of the whole recovery process?
Exactly. And we've given the Fish and Wildlife, or we've given these Forest Service and BLM districts, you know, 4 years now to consult on this, and they have not. So that's basically why we filed the notice. This doesn't commit us to a lawsuit yet, but we're hoping it facilitates that consultation process with Fish and Wildlife Service.
Yeah, I noticed it was an intent to sue and not the actual filing of a lawsuit.
Right, right. Under the Endangered Species Act, you have kind of a procedural requirement to give people notice, and you have to give them notice over the activities you're complaining of, which in this case is, you know, adversely modifying critical habitat, and then you give them an opportunity to remedy what they're doing before this winds up in the courts, and that would be ideal for us as well.
Nick Cady, you mentioned strategies in place since 1998. The bull trout itself was actually listed a year after that, wasn't it?
It was. It was. This the species is a candidate species for many years before it generally gets listed. And so they knew the listing was coming, and they developed the management plan in anticipation of that listing a year later.
We're talking to Nick Cady at Cascadia Wildlands. He's the legal director there. Cascadia Wildlands, one of several groups that have filed a notice of intent to sue federal agencies, the Forest Service and BLM in this case, over management plans that may affect the habitat for the bull trout. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your questions and comments at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. I mean, if you're looking for a fish to represent high-quality streams, bull trout's really a good one, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes. This is kind of one of those classically Northwest fish that definitely is prized by many conservationists and recreationists as well.
And so we talked about how it was listed in 1999, threatened, not endangered at this point, right?
Right, right. And functionally, that distinction has no practical purpose. Generally,
recovery plans are going to be the same either way?
Yes, yes. The protections are the same federally either way.
All right, so it's interesting. So, in other words, if a creature is endangered, you're going to do essentially the same sorts of recovery plans you could for a threatened fish?
Right, right. And the Fish and Wildlife Service might weigh the two differently, but functionally under the law, the protections are relatively the same. For threatened species, the Fish and Wildlife Service is allowed to carve out certain exceptions to taking or harming the endangered species, but certain grazing activities could be carved out and allowed around bull trout habitat, even though they would impact the species. So that is allowed for threatened species, but not for endangered.
All right, here's a chance for a little bit of a lesson for the audience then. I mean, so what are the steps that are supposed to happen when a critter is listed on the endangered species list, either as endangered or threatened? I mean, what are the things that are supposed to happen to help that recovery get into place?
Right. Well, the first trigger that automatically happens is that federal agencies, or really all people, are banned from killing that endangered species, or what you refer to as take. And so that triggers a number of requirements. So to get around this take requirement, obviously certain activities that are going to go forward, development or natural resource activities like timber or mining, they must consult with the Fish and Wildlife Service if their activities may impact an endangered species. And the Fish and Wildlife Service tells them that their activities can go ahead, it won't jeopardize the continued existence of the species, or they can order the agency to go through certain mitigation to mitigate the impacts that they're going to have. And so really what we're trying to do here is to get the Forest Service and BLM to mitigate really the increasing water temperatures that are due to climate change and decreasing rainfall in the West, and mitigate these, because they're going to continue to allow timber and mining activities, but we're hoping that they do more to mitigate the impacts of those activities on the bull trout.
And what would the mitigation activities be? What kinds of things would happen, or what kinds of things, I guess, would not happen then to keep the streams fresher for the bull trout?
Well, I know some immediate things that would certainly help the species is an increased timber cut buffer around inhabited streams. So the main reason, you know, timber harvests are one of the direct ways in which it impacts the habitat is that it removes stream shade, so cover from the stream, and with more sun access to a river, it's going to increase the temperature. You know, it's a very direct way. There's also, logging activities also contribute sediment, and road construction also contributes sediment into streams, as I referred to earlier. And grazing also will remove streamside vegetation that will shade rivers. So that's one of the main things that we would be asked for, is be an increased buffer around these waterways. We're talking matter of feet, really, because currently some of these rivers enjoy, you know, like a 50-foot buffer, and, you know, perhaps they could extend protections into the full riparian area, which would probably be 200 feet or so.
All right, so you'd basically be quadrupling some of these buffer zones.
Sure, sure. And it depends on the stream and the area, of course, and the landscape, for sure.
So, Nick Cady, there is also the process of getting an animal onto the endangered species list and then developing a plan to bring it back involves the designation of critical habitat. There's quite a bit of a time lag, it seems, between the listing of any species and the identification of its critical habitat. First, what does the identification of critical habitat do? And second, why so long in so many cases?
Well, the Fish and Wildlife Service has limited resources, and this is a practical reality. They have tons of endangered species on their list, and with varying degrees of need. And so certain things get prioritized over others, and sometimes that becomes political as well. And so the bull trout was one of those species that really, it took, you know, over 10 years to even get critical habitat designated. Critical habitat, as I said, was designated in 2010. And so what critical habitat designation does is that it triggers a need to consult with the Fish and Wildlife Service if any federal agency activity is going to impact that, like a dam construction or a timber sale or a big mining proposal. So all those things would trigger the need to consult with Fish and Wildlife Service, and Fish and Wildlife Service could order certain mitigation for the species.
Yeah, judging by the original critical habitat proposal, there are maps of those available to the public. There are quite a few orphan populations, it seems like.
Yeah, that's one of the consequences of kind of the decreasing range of the species is you get genetic isolation. Certain ranges of the species get cut off from others, and that's one of the major problems with this species is that they become very isolated in these pockets, like you said.
Isolated by dams, generally?
No, just by sections of their habitat becoming uninhabitable, and dam construction certainly has had a role, but more so management activities have eliminated large sections of their habitat from being suitable.
Because it looks like from the map there are bull trout populations in the upper Klamath Basin, is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
But none in the actual Klamath River.
Right, you are correct.
Interesting. So where do you go from here? Where does this happen? So if this is the notice of intent to sue, at what point do you decide, the heck with it, we're going to turn this into a real lawsuit?
Well, we have to give, it's called a 60-day notice. So we give the agency 60-day notice, and generally during this time period, we'll be in contact with the National Forest and with the BLM districts and talking with them about this, about the lawsuit, about the notice, and generally try to work out some sort of arrangement with them so this does not have to go to court. But if those 60 days run and we haven't worked out something with these agencies, then we would bring it into court, and then those discussions begin all over again. So sometimes it takes the actual filing of a lawsuit to compel agencies to get the right people's attention, I believe. But we'll see.
And what are the other agencies that are the other organizations, in addition to Cascadia Wildlands, involved in this notice of intent to sue?
Right. Well, we're being represented by the Cottonwood Environmental Law Center, and we're being joined by Western Watersheds Project, Wild Earth Guardians, and Cascadia Wildlands. Those are the three plaintiffs.
Now, there is another court action involving the bull trout, isn't there, against a different agency or set of agencies?
There could be any number of site-specific numerous bull trout litigation proceeding at once. This is more of a programmatic challenge. We're looking at challenging, you know, 24 different BLM districts and national forests for their need to consult. But any number of site-specific timber sales or projects people could be challenging, I'm not familiar which one you're referring to, but could be challenging based on the effects that they're having to the species.
And I lost my note here, but it was something filed earlier this year, though, another notice of intent to sue.
Oh, right. So technically we have filed two notice of intents to sue over bull trout. This second notice just corrected some procedural deficiencies that we had to remedy in light of recent case law. So it was just a legal procedural correction.
Oh, okay. So basically the same, you're the same footprint, just a slightly different shoe.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Have there been reintroductions of bull trout anywhere? Is there hatchery management? I mean, what kinds of programs already exist to boost numbers other than the efforts you're talking about to try to get habitat restored?
You know, I think based on the particularity of these species, I'm not familiar on any breeding programs that they have, but I believe, given the needs of the species, there are not a lot of breeding programs based on the cool water temperatures and kind of stream habitat that they need. I think generally what we are trying to do is, this species is certainly not beyond saving, and a lot can be done to mitigate the impacts to the species. And so we're hoping that proactively, in line with the intent of recovery under the Endangered Species Act, these agencies will go forward and start making some real positive changes that will lead to species recovery without resulting in breeding programs and hatcheries and so forth.
Nick Cady, has there ever been, I mean, given the political and procedural obstacles that lie in the path of recovery for any animal placed on the endangered species list, has there ever been a relatively straight line in the sense of, you know, here's the proposal for listing, here's the critical habitat, here's the recovery plan, and it went more or less smoothly? Has that ever happened for any critter that you're aware of?
Oh, yeah. Numerous species have, I mean, take the bald eagle, for example. I mean, that species has very successfully recovered through a very aggressive recovery plan by the Fish and Wildlife Service, and now you can see bald eagles driving up along I-5. You know, relatively, another species that's kind of impacted by this is the gray wolf. And so reintroduction of the gray wolf into the United States, that species has done very well in Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming. You know, recovery isn't complete there. That species is still listed in parts of the country, but we're hoping that Fish and Wildlife Service sees that one through as well. I believe the American alligator, too, is another big success story.
All right, so they have been some fairly straight lines on the pathway to recovery. The bull trout not enjoying that status, in your opinion, though.
Not yet, yeah.
All right, so the notice of intent to sue, and what do you think? Is it going to come to a lawsuit?
We hope not. When we filed the previous notice, we were contacted by a lot of various BLM and Forest Service employees and kind of the head agency of Fish and Wildlife Service. So we'll pick that dialogue back up again, and hopefully this won't be necessary.
All right. Nick Cady is the legal director at Cascadia Wildlands, one of several groups filing a notice of intent to sue the BLM and the Forest Service over activities that could affect the bull trout, which is listed as threatened on the endangered species list. Nick, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.